Welcome to another ePublish Yourself podcast. In this segment, I talk with author and game developer Nathan Munya. Among the areas we cover are different ways to promote your self-published work using storytelling to improve marketing pitches and the audiobook revolution. Enjoy. What of the things you're working on do you seem to enjoy the most? Are you more fired up about the game development, or do you like pushing the ebooks along? And it seems like you've got a pretty good thing going with the series that you're doing on for authors.
It's going pretty well so far. I mean, I definitely was, you know, I've written a bunch of books, so that's been something I've always wanted to do. I've actually been studying and kind of in the process of self-publishing for about 10 years, but it's only really within the past couple years that I've started actually sort of doing it.
Right.
Because like 10 years ago, it was a completely different story. I'd written a book, and I was working on a newspaper in northern Vermont then, and the plan was to like spend lots of money and print up, like go to a printing press locally and print up copies and try to get them into local bookstores. And I think maybe Lulu and a couple other like vanity type setups were just getting started back then.
Yeah.
So Kindle wasn't even, you know, in existence, and it was just a totally different ballgame. So I was like, you know, let me just park that and focus on freelancing, which has been great. But since I moved back and I discovered sort of Kindle, it's like, wow, suddenly all these things that I've wanted to do with writing seem much more feasible now on the book front, just because, you know, there's lots more books, you know, digitally. Books are cheaper. I love to read, and I never can seem to find what I want to read about in actual bookstores.
Right.
So since the Kindle has kind of opened that door, it's been really exciting, because I read like probably, I don't know, 80-90 books a year now. I just totally go crazy with it. So I really enjoy writing books, I think, on the same level. Like I'll do, like, I have three pillars of what I do, which is the freelancing being my primary income. And I really enjoy that. I spent, you know, a long time working on that. So that's satisfying. Book writing is sort of like being able to explore passion projects and really dig into slightly more long form content, although I've been really pushing the shorter book setup, which is working really well for me. And then game development, which is something that happened by accident this past year. I mean, I've kind of tinkered with some engines and stuff in the past, but my focus was writing about games, not really making them. And but I've always been, you know, a big fan of games since I was a kid. And it just sort of worked out that some folks, I don't know if you're familiar with the Public House, which is right down in Harwood Hill, yeah.
Right.
My friend Len, who's the bartender there, and his younger brother John, they're both writers and artists and musician folks, and I hang out with them a lot, and we just said, hey, let's try making a game, because John's sort of a programmer, and Len does a lot of hand-drawn art, and I sort of have the business side of things down. I do some kind of programming, and so we just sort of formed a studio this past year and put out our first game and working on some other games, and that's it's been a really fun sort of way to shift, since most of my freelancing has shifted away from doing games, like writing, doing game reviews and more journalistic critic type stuff, and more towards writing for corporate clients and companies and consulting and content marketing type work on the mostly relating to games and tech. But it's been sort of different, my freelancing. So making games has been kind of a fun way to keep the torch going in terms of, you know, my interest in that side of things.
Yeah.
That was a really long answer, but it's been really fun. And I sort of go between the three things. You know, I shift my focus around a lot just to kind of keep myself busy.
Yeah. Your name seems kind of familiar. I was trying to think if I'd somehow encountered something you'd done back when I was doing a lot of work for Intel's Visual Computing Group. And a lot of what we did there was interview game developers and talk about the techniques they used, and of course talk about how fantastically everything would run on Intel platforms. I mean, that was the sub theme always, but they weren't too bad about actually letting us, you know, write them as kind of journalistic articles. But did you ever have any involvement with that group and Visual Adrenaline magazine that was like the showcase magazine for the Visual Computing Group?
No, I don't think so. That's one of the most of my freelancing in the past, up until the past 2 years or so, has been primarily writing for sort of consumer newsstand publications, mostly like some of the websites like IGN and GameSpot. But I did a lot of a lot of work until they all started to shut down for the print mags that feature US, like the Nintendo Power and OXM and PlayStation Magazine. Did some stuff for Game Pro before they shut down. Like, a lot of those type publications were sort of where I was focusing on. So I haven't really, until recently, the past couple of years, when a lot of those have sort of dried up and other gigs have kind of shifted or fizzled out, that I've focused more on kind of corporate or doing more content marketing type work, which I actually really enjoy doing. It's similar but different.
Content marketing of high-tech products, or?
Yeah, typically. I mean, a lot of what I'm doing on the freelance front, I will do like branded content for some clients. Like, they want, say they want, maybe they're a tech company or a publication, and they have like maybe a corporate client that's doing a sponsored post, and they need someone that knows about games or something to cover that. So sometimes I'll do that kind of work where it's like a branded content blog post where I'm writing basically entertaining copy, but that ties into whatever product or thing they're trying to plug. And other times it's more like case studies. So there's a company that's sort of, they're global. They have a couple offices around the world, and they make software that's used for compositing for films and animation for 3D games and a lot of sci-fi movies. Like, a lot of the blockbuster sci-fi films that come out, they use their tools. So doing sort of content marketing stories, like interviewing studios that use these products and talking about how they use them and what products are using them on, and doing that sort of feature style brand journalism where, you know, we're getting the customer stories out there in interesting ways beyond just here's what's so great about our products. It's here's actually
right,
a story
yeah.
about how someone's using the product in a really interesting way. And being a journalist, I sort of approach it very much as like a feature writing style. So I try to treat it just as I would writing a feature often, unless the client wants something different, where I'm trying to draw, you know, create a narrative and make it interesting to read instead of just the usual corporate bullet points.
Well, yeah, I think that's much, much more effective than, the usual marketing drivel where, it's so obvious that all they're doing is flogging the marketing points on whatever the product is. But if you can build a storyline around it and kind of draw people in that way, I think it's much more likely to have somebody actually begin and read the story to the end.
Yeah, seriously.
Not be turned off. Anybody in the self-publishing world that you particularly admire at this stage?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of folks that I pay attention to on podcasts, and I'm trying to think, who do I watch? I've been listening to a lot of like Joanna Penn, and Steve Scott now has a podcast, which is great. But I've read a lot of his books before. I think he does more like habit books now, but he did some publishing books in the past. Jim Cookrell has been an interesting guy to listen to. He has a podcast called Sell More Books Show with Brian Cohen, and I interviewed Brian recently and Joanna for another project I'm working on that's sort of a book and Udemy course on podcasting for authors, which is kind of going to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, I read a lot of books, and I'm trying to think, it's hard to, when I was on the spot, like thinking of who I actually read and listen to,
yeah.
But a lot of the folks who have books out now that are doing well, I've been sort of picking them up and checking out what they're doing right and seeing all that stuff. But
any interest in audiobooks?
Yeah, actually, since I've been into podcasting, I've gotten a lot better, a lot more comfortable. I've never been really a naturally comfortable speaker, but podcasting sort of forced me into getting comfortable with it. And sort of getting a feel for how to speak in a way that's a little less like you're reading from a book. And
it's a bit of an art. I've done a little bit of work with a woman who lives up north near Burlington. What's the town? Shelburne, I guess it is.
Oh, yeah, Shelburne.
Mary Catherine Jones has a company called Voiceover Vermont, and she's a wonderful narrator, and she's just gotten into audiobooks. And I'm set up now with Amazon that I can do the production and, the uploading of audiobooks to audible.com, which is an interesting little window that also might be fun to exploit. So I'm thinking, gee, maybe it would be fun to get a team of narrators together. And, I've got a couple people who are very good at audio production and, kind of focus maybe. It's interesting doing the fictional work, but I also think there's a huge market for business titles and for exploring things like self-publishing. So I think a lot of people listen to educational material, I guess, when they're driving to work. You know, they maybe they have a half-hour commute and they want to learn more about some technology or how to improve their business in some way or something like that. So
that's really powerful stuff. The that's kind of why podcasting is so exciting and sort of really useful. But even applying that to audiobooks, like you're basically talking directly, you're providing information through someone's, like, into their ears, directly to their brain. They're not trying to read. It's like you're driving along and you're just kind of like doing your thing, spacing up. You're soaking up information.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us for the next interview in this ongoing series.